are super excited to chat with none other than food blogger, creator, author at 21, Shivesh Bhatia, as he launches his fourth book, which is a cookbook for special days, which is actually a children's book. And it's absolutely brilliant. I chat in this episode with Shivesh on pursuing his passion, finding that point in his life where he actually thought that this is what he wants to do professionally, from the time that he actually gave himself that 1 year to pursue content creation for the support of his family. And of course, going through that feeling of, am I doing the right thing? Taking up a course and a degree because everybody else amongst his friends was doing that, and he thought he would perhaps be left out. So we're going to discuss all of this and a lot more. And of course, all about his fourth book, which is a children's book, and why a children's book, most importantly. And if you're going to listen to this episode, stay till the very end, because of course Shivesh tells us about his future plans and what he's planning to do, and why the support of your parents means so much to a child who's decision making, who's confused, who's lost, but wants to pursue something that he truly loves doing and brings him so much joy. So parents, stay tuned right to the very end of this episode. And of course, we want to thank our partners, HarperCollins India, for supporting us through this episode. A little bit about your childhood. How did you start? What kind of a family that you come from? And what was that, you know, that moment where you said, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
So I actually come from a big joint family, and which I absolutely love. So I have grandparents in my house, I have my chachi chachu, and everybody, we all live together. And baking, however, is something that I've kind of picked up from my mom's side of the family, because my nani has, you know, for as long as my memory can go back, I've always remembered her making things at home from scratch. So from things like ice creams to even something like tomato ketchup, which normally everybody else would just, you know, pick a bottle from the supermarket, is something that she would always make at home. And she would make kulfis, and I remember she would make this excellent jam with raspberries or gooseberries, and absolutely everything at home. And which now for me, I wish I had appreciated it as much as I do now as a kid. But I find it so fascinating now. And even baking is something that I've kind of, you know, every time we would go visit her, we would always have two cakes waiting for us on the table. One would be like a chocolate cake, and the other one would be a vanilla cake. So she'd always baked at home from scratch. I still have albums of, birthdays that we used to have, and always like the cake is something that, you know, she would make at home. And, it was all always simple. It was never anything which is too fancy. So normally it would just be like a plain cake. Otherwise, if it's for a birthday, it would have like a melted chocolate frosting with some gems on top. But just the fact that she would make it all at home is just so interesting. And that's where I've kind of picked up, you know, baking.
So college, school went on, 8th, 9th, 10th. Were you sure that this I'm going to do art, science, commerce, BMM, BMS. I don't know, you grew up in a different
generation. Yeah.
So let me ask you straight up.
So for me, I was sure of one thing, that I didn't want to study maths. Like I wanted to, like the first option that I got, I was out of it. And that's the only thing which was honestly something I didn't like as
you
much.
You know, a lot of parents want us to edit out this line from the
podcast. I know. And you know, but the thing is that even starting out, I remember even my dada particularly, he was so, you know, he couldn't just digest the fact that I didn't want to study math. So I remember in the session break that you get, and before we were kind of supposed to fill that form and make a decision as to what we want to, what subjects we want to take forward, I remember he had specially ordered 11, 12 maths book, and he sat me down because he's an economics professor. He's been a professor at Shriram College of Commerce, and he sat me down. He was like, listen, it's extremely important, so let me teach you. And I remember he picked out trigonometry to kind of convince me, and
it's the worst of the lot.
Exactly. So basically I was like, dada, I completely understand where you're coming from, but this has really just like cemented my idea and my decision to not study maths for sure. So this thing completely backfired, honestly, and it kind of did exactly the opposite of what his intention was. But my thing was that until 10th, when I was studying maths, I put in everything that I could and I scored really well. But then I also realized that it's also extremely important to know what your strengths are, but at the same time, it's also very important to realize what your weaknesses are. And luckily, I was able to kind of explain the entire thing to my parents that I've done it till now and I've done a good job with it, but I know going forward, it's something that I'll not be, good at. So let me take the subjects that actually interest me and let me study the things that I actually enjoy doing.
What did you select? I selected
arts. So I did political science and sociology, and I did history and all of these subjects which I truly enjoy. And then I went on to study political science at Hindu College for my undergrad as well. Again, three best years of my life. I enjoyed going to college every single day. So that was a lot of fun. And even, 11th and 12th, I love the academic part of it. And I would have at that stage, if anybody would have asked me what I want to do in my life, I would have never even imagined thinking of doing something which was not academic. Like, I would have never thought that I'll be a full-time content creator. So I was really really enjoyed studying and, all the subjects that I picked up.
Okay, now he's trying to cement the math part of it for all the other parents who want to listen to him, saying that, okay, I was a good student, I did study well, but...
Yes.
Shivish, did you, while you were at college, while you were doing your undergrad, did you know that this is what I'm going to do, or your journey began after that?
So I started baking while I was still in school, but it was honestly just something that I would do, say, a couple of times in the month to just, if I had time. It's just something that I enjoyed doing once in a while. And in college is when it became my hobby, because our classes were very chill. I would have a lot of time at hand to go back. And first year, we did everything possible. We ate at all possible cafes in North Campus, and we spent the entire day just loitering around, attending all possible fests that used to happen or anything that was happening. But then in year two, I realized that, okay, this is how the next 2 years are going to be, and I need to pick up something which keeps me busy and something that's productive. And that is when I, started baking a lot more often, and it kind of became something that I became extremely passionate about. So from hobby, it became something that I kind of started taking a little bit more seriously. I was only in third year, I realized that, okay, maybe this is something that I want to give a shot to and maybe pursue full time. So it was much later.
Wow. So political science,
yes,
to food blogging and being a content creator, now an author. You didn't think this was ever a pathway, did you?
Absolutely not. I was in fact studying to probably take up law or maybe sit for civil exams. So this was nowhere on my plan sheet at all.
And family support, if family was okay?
Absolutely. So, luckily, in fact, I feel that they were more confident about me than I was about myself. And third year is when everybody's, studying for their civils or applying for jobs or applying for London School of Economics or, every other possible master options and things like that. But I was kind of thinking that, okay, maybe let me give it a year and see if I want to do content creation full time. Luckily for me, I think the timing of it was really, I was in the right place at the right time. And by the time I was about to graduate and I had to make this decision, I was already doing fairly well. I had a certain amount of revenue coming in. I was already working with brands. So I was really lucky that I'd, kind of taken up the blogging part of it quite seriously while I was still studying. And I was able to manage the both. So by the time that I had to kind of pick between the two, it wasn't something which was, only in my head. I had things to kind of, tangible things to show to my parents that, okay, this has potential and this is what I've done so far. This is how I see it. And luckily they were, open-minded. They were ready to listen to me. They were ready to kind of, tell me that, okay, this is something, if this is something that you want to do, go ahead and, we're okay.
What year was this? So I can place the social guidelines.
2017 is when I had graduated. And what also luckily happened is that I think July 2017 is when I completed my degree in political science. And August or September is when I got the offer for the first book from HarperCollins as well. So that is also something which, you know, because again, publishing and HarperCollins and books is something that, you know, my parents and my grandparents.
At 21, you had your first book contract.
Yes. So I think even the timing for that was, you know, really, really good. And I realized that, okay, fine. You know, this is something which has come in and it's extremely exciting. So the timeline of it, honestly, for me, I'm very grateful that it all kind of fell in place.
Tell me your process in terms of writing your first book with Harper's, which was, you know, largely a, if I say so, a sort of summary of what you've shared on your blog.
Yeah.
To now something, your second book, which is completely different. And why children? Why do you think it was an important aspect?
So the children's book is actually my fourth book.
Fourth.
The first book was Bake with Shivesh. And at that time, honestly, I was extremely clueless. And I feel like I really, to an unbelievable extent, underestimated the kind of work that goes into putting a book together. And I didn't have a team at that time. And I just thought that, you know, okay, this is something that I can very easily do on my own. And halfway through it, I realized that, okay, maybe this has a lot more than I would have actually ever imagined. So for the first book, I literally tested out all the recipes on my own, written every single word, like typed every single thing on my own, styled, photographed, a large part of it. Like I've done everything on my own, which I later realized was maybe too much, and I could have done it in a much more organized fashion instead of kind of struggling my way through it. So while I feel that the experience of working on the first book has been something which has taught me a lot, more than the next three books combined, but I just felt that I wasn't organized at all and it was all over the place, basically, the process.
But 21, yeah, give yourself some credit.
Yeah.
21.
Correct, yeah. I know, the fact that I actually pulled through it is great.
Bad, is commendable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I love the first book because I've read, you know, especially the way you talk about, and I'm not at all a good baker, but mm-hmm. I love the photography part of it where you explain
to this. Yes.
I felt like it was, you've written down your tricks and techniques,
yeah.
Right?
Thank you. I'm so glad. But then when that got done, I realized that, okay, you know, if I do end up working on the next one, I don't think, you know, I want to do it alone. Because I feel that I'm glad that I made the decision of actually then bringing my team on board to work with me on the second and the third and the fourth book, because that really helped me to, you know, be more efficient and produce the same result or maybe better results, but do it in a more efficient manner.
So what part of it do you delegate and what part of it do you hold on? Because that's always a...
So I've still ended up, you know, for all four books, the kids book is illustrated, but for the other three recipe books, I've done all the styling and photography on my own because I realized that...
That's your strength.
That's something that I also enjoy doing. And because, you know, my audience that follows me or reads my blog or follows me in social media, they're used to, you know, see me photograph and style my own desserts, and I think that just kind of gives it a more personal touch. And but the part, say for example, if a recipe has to be tested 10 times, it just helps to have help because you know, and also a fresher perspective. Even when I write a recipe down, there's so many times when my team goes through it and they, you know, they have questions, and these are things which I probably might take as a granted or it's obvious because I've been baking for so long. But to get that fresh perspective, say on a recipe, or maybe if they tell me that, okay, this part is something that, you know, maybe we could give more information on, because say if I write something as simple as, you know, shape the cinnamon roll, but how do you actually end up shaping the cinnamon roll is something that I would probably think that, oh, everybody knows that. But to have, you know, my team sit down with me and tell me that, okay, you know, this part is something which could require a little bit more information. And even in terms of the testing bit of it, the testing, the recipes and all of that. So because it's also an extremely time consuming
I'm sure.
process. So I kind of help with the ideation and the first few testings, but then it also helps to have a third person actually use that recipe to test it out, because the challenges that they would face or the questions that they would have would be very different from somebody like me who's ideated and kind of worked on the recipe. So again, that kind of input also makes the process a lot more easier and helps me get better and more foolproof recipes out to the audience in the books.
Also for the kids' book, why did you choose to illustrate the book versus actual photography? Because that's your strength, right? And I heard you say that up in the start, that it's very important to identify your strengths and weaknesses. I was a little, you know, for someone who's read your blog, who follows you on social, and also my teenage daughter does, right? And she's like, you know, for a minute she was like a little lost, because everybody who's following you knows your style, like you said.
Correct.
Your photography style is wow.
Yeah.
Why did you choose to illustrate?
So, you know, for me, doing this book was as fresh as doing my first book, because as I told you, I was so clueless about doing my first book, and I kind of felt in a similar zone with this one, because you know, I've done 3 books for adults, but doing a kid's book is a completely different ball game altogether. Like, it's an audience that is extremely different, and this was a completely, you know, new target group. And to create a book for you know, kids, and again for me, where I kind of you know, in the process of writing may take so many things for granted and assume for them to be obvious, I feel like for this one the challenge was to actually make it so much more easier for somebody to understand and follow, and to also make it interesting and interactive at the same time. So I realized that, you know, as a photographer, I may not have the bandwidth to take step-by-step pictures, or maybe take pictures of every single ingredient or every single equipment. But when we have an illustrator, it not only makes the entire book so much more colorful and interactive, it also helps us illustrate quite literally every small detail that might be fresh for a young kid. So for example, you know, even when Maitri was illustrated it, and there were so many places where we had this kind of back and forth, because when I say that, you know, mix it with an electric mixer, a lot of times when she illustrated it, she made, say, a blender instead of, you know, the hand mixer that I was talking about. Yeah. And I realized that a lot of these things don't really translate into text, but actually make so much difference. So for the kids to actually see that kind of machine being illustrated and being used, something which I would have never been able to communicate just with a styled final shot of the picture, I just realized that with the step-by-step illustrations, with every ingredient being illustrated, we are actually able to make the process of recreating that recipe so much more simpler. So I was in fact really glad that we went ahead and, you know, decided to get it illustrated, because it makes the entire process from A to Z very engaging. Because otherwise, for the recipe books that I've been doing so far, it's only the Z, right? It's only the final product which has been styled and put out for you to see that, okay, this is how the final result is going to be like. But to illustrate the entire process to get there is something which, you know, we were only able to achieve through illustrations. So.
Now let me tell you my version of this. I have 2 kids, right? One is 10 and one is 14.
Yeah.
So the 14-year-old, she's literally grown up with your blog, right? So she found the illustration a deviation from your normal style. But my 10-year-old, she actually liked it more because she always feels like your other books are too perfect. So she's like, it's not for me, right? Because there's a certain version that if her dessert or whatever she's making is not turning out the way Shivesh has photographed it, it's not right. It may taste delicious, but the ability or the, you know, that, you know, how we see everything so perfect on the gram and we want to get
exactly.
So it's perfect or nothing. At least this gave her a scope.
Yeah.
At least it can taste good. The visualization can be your, you know, your judgment or what you can, or your ability. So for her, so like to, I was like literally watching them both react to the book, and I just saw completely 2 different versions of it.
Yeah.
And now that you say now that I know the backstory to this, it just makes so much sense, because I think there's a whole young sort of audience who would have, you know, who's always trying for that perfection while kids are, you know, trying to create their own version. So I think It's very, very interesting now that you say that. Let me now take a few of the questions that the kids have asked and the kids actually want to ask you. So we
forward. This I'm most excited about.
And trust me, they're tougher than mine. So you brace yourself for this
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
There are so many people who are good at the same thing. How do you keep yourself motivated?
So I think the fact that, you know, I've always kind of made a conscious decision to do something that genuinely makes me happy. I don't think I have to kind of go and search for motivation on an everyday basis, because I've made that conscious choice of actually following the path where I'm doing what I want to do, right? So I think the motivation just come on its own. And luckily, I'm so glad that I've been in a position to be able to make that decision for myself and to, you know, be successfully be able to, say, in a way, convert my passion into my profession. I think that in itself, the fact that I've been able to do it is my biggest motivation. And I know that I'm doing something that makes me the happiest. So there's never like, oh, I wish I was doing that, or I wish I was doing this, or I wish. And I feel like when you have those kind of thoughts is when you need the motivation to keep doing what you're doing. But when you already know that, okay, you know, even if I end up doing, say, B, C, D, or E, or F, that would never make me as happy as the A that I'm working on. Is my motivation.
So you never look at all the other friends of yours who went to LSC or wherever became doctors or whatever else.
Yeah.
That you never look back and say.
I would never say never. I've had phases. I remember in 2018, I had this phase where a lot of my friends were completing their year-long master courses, and some of them were applying to PhD. And that kind of was a scary time for me, because I realized that, I've only done my undergrad. Like, what am I doing? And I, at that time, enrolled into a master's course at Indian Institute of Mass Communications in Delhi for a course in advertising and PR. And because I was like, everybody's jumping onto the next degree. What am I doing? So I'll not say that I've not had those moments of self-doubt where I feel that, I'm not doing enough. Maybe I should do more. And but I did that for 3 months, and I realized that, this is not for me. Like, and then again, you know, that is always a reminder that I was so much happier doing what I was doing. I don't need to always, you know, think of myself as not doing enough, or like look at others who are doing different things and try to replicate that. So I feel like I've made those stupid mistakes, but they've always kind of been a good reminder for me to be grateful for what I'm doing. So now I feel like I'm in a space where I'm just happy doing what I'm doing, and it doesn't bother me what my friends are doing and what, you know, people my age are doing. So it doesn't happen anymore, luckily.
Okay. My parents say that hard work is the key to success, but only a few see it, while others still continue to work hard. What has been your key to success?
I feel that there's no, I never shy away from working hard. I feel that I could be successful and I'm still working hard, because my goals are much bigger than something that I've already achieved, right? So for example, if they see me as being successful, in my head I might still have a long way to go to where I need to reach. So I feel like it's a very long process, but as long as you're enjoying the journey. So don't think of working hard as something which you want to escape from. As long as you're doing something that actually makes you happy and you're working hard doing it, I just feel that, you know, there's no harm in doing it. So you could be successful and still be working hard. And I think it's always like a journey. If you set your own goals, and I know for a fact that as humans, we have a thing where, you know, you reach a certain goal and then you automatically have another goal that you want to work towards. And I feel like that's something that fuels me personally. I don't want to, you know, now at 26, just sit and think that, okay, now people think I'm successful, so I want to stop working hard. You know, I want to work harder every single day, because I just feel there's always more goals to achieve and there's always room for improvement. So why shy away from working hard?
Javesh, you've grown up too much by 26. Like I'm much older, but I already feel like he's got so much interesting stuff and so many pearls of wisdom already at 26.
You know, but I feel like when you're, you know, especially, and I know you would relate, but when you're in a, you know, profession like this where there's no, like, I don't have anybody to report to, or I don't have an office where I have to punch in and punch out, and there's nobody else who's holding me accountable for how much I'm working and when I'm working. I feel like it's also extremely important to, you know, have that kind of accountability with you. And, you know, so I just feel like it's something that you don't have an option for. I remember when I just completed college and I'd started doing this full time, for a long time I just felt that I was, you know, not doing anything, because I was like, I can wake up at 12, I can wake up at 1, I can also not wake up for an entire day, I can, you know, not work for a week or 2 weeks, and, you know, nobody's gonna say anything to me, because at the end
except
of the day,
except for parents who will just bash you up and wake you up.
My parents also, luckily, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, after college were like, now, you know, you decide how you want to, you know, manage your work and manage your day. And so I realized that, you know, I have to kind of push myself, because if I don't push myself, nobody else is gonna tell me to, you know, work or not work. So I think it has to come to you at some point when you're in a profession like this.
We have a next question that as a teenager, I've launched my own business, but so most of these schools now have these young entrepreneurship programs, right? So by grade 8, all of them are learning entrepreneurship. She's written, as a teenager, social media is so overwhelming for me to grow my business. I just want to do my business. How did you deal with it?
So unfortunately, social media is my business. So if I'm not in social media, that's how I make my money. And it's also something that I enjoy. So, you know, being interactive, and I know I completely relate to the fact that it could be overwhelming, it could be a lot of pressure, but I do feel that as somebody who's running a business, you need to realize that social media now is, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, a big part of anybody who's running any kind of business. So don't put in too much thought into it, don't let it consume you, but just maybe set a certain time frame for yourself, that okay, this is how much time that I'm going to spend on social media, because for you, luckily, it's only a small part of your entire business, unlike for me where it's my entire business. So I feel like you can still delegate and draw that boundary, that this is the frequency of posts that I want to do on social media, this is how much time that I want to spend on social media. So I feel like they're luckily in a position to draw that boundary quite easily. So don't get consumed by it, but don't completely ignore it either, is what I'd say.
And the same person has asked this question, how do you make your brand stand out in so much clutter?
I think it's very important to have that kind of original voice that you have, because I always say that in this space where it's so overcrowded now, your original voice is something which will always be yours. Nobody else, even if they try to, will be able to copy it completely. So just be authentic to yourself and always add that personal touch, because I think that as humans, we really do connect with humans. So while you have a brand, always have a personal touch to it. Always try and, you know, come in and personally interact with people. If you're comfortable, show your face somewhere, maybe do a live session once in a while, just so that the audience connects with you as well and not just your brand. And I think that aspect kind of really helps build that personal relationship, and that will go a long way and help you stand out amongst everybody else.
Then the next one we have is, I want to keep baking, but my mom says I waste too much money because the baking ingredients are very expensive.
Yeah.
How did you convince your mom to buy you so many ingredients?
So, you know, when I was starting out, to be honest, I wouldn't spend too much money on baking, because at the end of the day, you can still create an amazing dessert, and not just one dessert. See, now the thing is that if you have basics like your maida, sugar, baking powder, baking soda, you could still use the same ingredients and create so many different recipes. So I feel like if you feel that's a concern that your family has, you need to also then select your recipes accordingly, starting out. And the other thing that you could do is always, instead of, say, if you're using a recipe online, instead of creating the entire thing, you could half the recipe or one fourth the recipe to kind of create a smaller portion, because the process of it is still equally fun and you don't end up using as much ingredients as you normally would for an entire recipe. And I hope that your parents also, with time, see the value in what you're doing and they're able to appreciate it. And I hope they give you the freedom to experiment and play around, because I know how much fun it is to kind of have access to all the ingredients possible and to, you know, create anything, because there's just so many possibilities. So I hope that with the little small desserts that you create for them, you're able to convince them to, you know, let you experiment more.
Then one of them has asked you, who is Shivesh's role model?
So my role model, I think, is my mom, for sure, because, you know, I've always seen her trying to do something new, something different. You know, it could be to keep herself busy or, you know, for us at home, for anybody who's coming in. So I kind of always take a lot of inspiration from her to, you know, never get comfortable in a way to, like, never just be like, okay, fine, you know, I'm comfortable, I'm not going to do anything more. So it's always important to, you know, keep reinventing yourself, keep experimenting, keep doing something new to kind of keep your own journey exciting. And that's something that I see her do and try to execute in my life as well, as much as possible.
Which is your favorite recipe from all the recipes that you've created?
This is one question I can't answer.
Okay, from this book specifically, which is the dessert that you go to when you're not even a woman, so I can't even ask you, like, when you PMS, but like, you know that feeling. So what is that?
Honestly, like, you know, the reason why I wrote the book, my second book, which is called Desserts for Every Mood, and it's got 100 recipes, because I just feel that for me, every single day or every single, you know, phase of my day has a different mood, and a different mood deserves a different dessert of its own. So it really depends on what mood I am in, what season it is. It's just like there are too many factors influencing what my favorite dessert is. So today I think it's a carrot cake, because I'd love for my table right now to have a slice of carrot cake with walnuts and cranberries with a cream cheese frosting. That's my mood for today.
You know, that wasn't my mood for today, but I know but that soon after this interview, I am going to go to a bakery that makes incredible carrot cake. And my workout is there going down the drain thanks to this.
Yes. Correct. No, yeah, my mood keeps changing, and so does my favorite recipe or my favorite dessert. So if had we been doing this in the evening, maybe I would have been craving like churros with something, because it's so cold here. So it really depends on when the person's asking the question. So for now, the answer is a carrot cake.
Okay, what is tougher, shooting videos or writing a book?
I think I would say shooting videos, because with the book, you can take your own sweet time. I can spend an entire year working on a book. But with videos, we have a certain frequency that we have to match up to. And I could write a book in my pajamas, but if I have to be on the camera, I have to look a certain way. I have to have a certain energy. And I think that is a much more demanding this thing. I can't do it as per my own, you know, mood and time. If a video is to go up tomorrow, no matter how I'm feeling today, I have to, you know, create that content piece today. So I think I would say shooting videos is more challenging for me personally.
Then the next question this kid has asked, if five of us, and I'm assuming they're all kids, if five kids came to Shivesh's studio, what would our four-course meal be?
Four-course meal. So I can only do desserts, unfortunately. Yeah. So I can make Maggie for you, but that's all I can do in savory. So the rest, all three courses will have to be dessert. And I'm happy to make whatever you guys enjoy eating. So that bit, I let you decide. I'll do the work, and what you want to eat, I let you decide.
Okay. Then we have some easy ones. What does a day in Shivesh's life look like?
So as a content creator, honestly, every day looks different. And I'm so glad for that, because I just love the fact that each day is different from, you know, the other one. And I think that's the best part of my job. But on a regular day where I'm shooting content, I get up at around 9, and by 9:30 I'm at work, which is great because it's only one flight of stairs to get up to my kitchen. And we usually try and shoot, say, 2 YouTube videos in a day. And then when I get free, evening is when I try and step out to kind of catch up with friends. And then I come back home to my dog and my parents, and we have dinner together, and then I go to sleep. And I usually find some time in the evening to edit. And while I'm editing, I love to kind of play something mindless on Netflix and watch something which you know, just some thing going on in the background kind of a vibe. And yeah, that's what my day looks like.
Now we have some very quick answers. So sure. Which ones can you pick? Okay, mithais or pastries, your favorite?
Very, very tough. But I feel that mithais are more addictive. Like if you give me one jalebi, I will not stop until I finish all the jalebis in sight. So in that sense, most definitely mithai, because I just feel that you can't have one.
Okay. Your comfort food?
Chole bhature.
Three mistakes that wannabe bakers must avoid.
So I think to not have patience, because I feel that along with skill and precision and everything, one skill that you need to have to succeed as a baker is to be patient, because it's not going to come to you in one day. It's something that will take a lot of time. So you need to be patient and pull through. The other thing would be to stop experimenting, because I know that once you kind of nail one dessert, it's a lot of fun to keep only making that. But I think it's also very important to, you know, then push yourself out of that comfort zone, because I feel, unlike any other profession, I feel that your growth stops if you were not attempting something which makes you nervous. So I think that even as a baker is extremely important to do. And the other thing that I would say is to not eventually invest in the right kind of equipment. And I'm not saying expensive mixers or, you know, fancy equipment. I'm saying something as simple as a weighing scale or measuring cups. These are basic things that you would need to have to get the perfect result. Because I know a lot of people who try to, you know, bake a dessert without having these basic equipments, and then they blame themselves because they think that they're doing something wrong. But more often than not, it's honestly just the lack of the right equipment.
If not a baker, what would you have been?
Probably a lawyer.
Three gadgets in your kitchen that you can't do without?
Lots of things, but of course my oven, my measuring cups and my whisk and spatulas. Rest, everything I can do without.
Three productivity tools you and your team swear by?
So we are all, I feel like, especially me, I feel like I'm very technologically challenged. So I know that they might be expecting to hear some fancy apps that help you kind of increase your productivity. But here I'm struggling to just keep up with my WhatsApp and Instagram. So I don't really have any of those, this thing. But luckily, I do have an assistant that kind of helps me make sure that I'm sticking to this thing. But I'm a very basic person. I honestly write down things in my diary with my pen, all the tasks that I have to complete that day. And in the evening, the joy that it gives me to kind of cut it out is something which kind of helps me be productive. If I don't want to do something, I just think about how much joy it'll give me later to kind of tick it off my list.
The best advice you got when you started food blogging?
Do I think, and again, this might sound extremely, obvious, but I think it is to be consistent. And I honestly feel that one of the big reasons why I've been able to build a social media following is because I've been consistent. And I've also, like everybody else, gone through phases where I feel like giving up, where I think that, oh, it's not working. My follow account is stuck. I'm not getting the response that I want. So it probably doesn't make sense. I've had all of those thoughts, not just on Instagram, but even on a platform like YouTube that I've started recently. But just the fact that I've shown up every day, put out some content on YouTube. Also, I've been consistently posting 2 videos every week. I think that has just helped me. I don't think I am the best baker out there, or I have the best recipes, or I am the best food stylist. I don't think any of that stands true. But I know for a fact that I am extremely consistent, and I do show up every day. So I think that is something that has helped me.
A recipe that you've made more blunders than got right?
Macarons.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs> One last minute baking hack tip when the cake is just not rising as planned?
Unfortunately, you can't do anything about the cake not rising if it's already in the oven. So yeah, there's no last minute hack for that, unfortunately.
Then give us the hack for the softest cake that one can have.
So I think a lot of mistakes that people make, and it's something that I've done a lot when I was just starting out, is when you're combining your dry and your wet ingredients to overmix it. What that does is basically you end up knocking out all the air, and that is what results in a hard and a dense cake. And I used to have so much fun just mixing it and just see the batter forming those beautiful ribbons. And I know it's very oddly satisfying and comforting to just keep mixing, but don't do that. Just fold the dry ingredients in only until you don't see any flour pockets, and then stop.
One viral food trend that you really like?
I recently, what's trending right now is that caramelized toast that has come from a Rome bakery in London. So I tried that out recently and I absolutely loved it. So that.
Any kitchen mishaps that you remember?
Oh, so many. And I think again, like suddenly I'm getting flashes of me attempting to make macarons. A lot of failed attempts to do that.
The worst advice you got when you started food blogging?
I think a lot of people were of the opinion that I'll not be able to, grow only as a dessert content creator. So I feel that a lot of people were of the opinion that if I'm doing food, I should do savory as well. And I'm glad that I made the decision to stick to something which I genuinely think is my area of expertise, and something that I genuinely want to talk about, instead of just becoming a food blogger and also do savory just so that it appeals to a lot more people and to kind of make my content more massy. So I'm glad that I didn't get influenced by that.
The one skill that you think sets you apart?
I think again, the fact that I'm extremely consistent, and if I've decided something for myself, even if it's something which is challenging, I do end up doing it.
Then we have 3 tips for home bakers, kids or otherwise.
Focus on your product the most, because all the other frills do help. But again, if your product is not great, I don't think your customer is going to come back to you. Secondly, although it is one of the frills, but do focus on building a social media presence. I've seen so many home bakers do, and I'm talking about home bakers as being people who do it commercially here, not as... So I think it kind of works as a great show window for your customers to just see your work. And I always say that if the show window doesn't look interesting enough, nobody's actually going to enter the shop and purchase anything. So that kind of social media now works as a great way to just show the kind of work that you can do and potentially get more customers. And my third tip would be to focus a lot on customer feedback. Again, like any other industry, it's very important to understand what your customers are saying, and if say you're getting a negative feedback, why are you getting that negative feedback and how you can fix it.
What's your next book?
I haven't even started thinking about it yet, because I've had 2 books released last year, and I just feel that I'm gonna take some time to really work on promoting these 2 books and to make sure that a lot of people get to pick the books up and actually recreate these recipes. So I'm going to now spend some time and hopefully visiting as many cities as I possibly can to meet as many people as I can, sign as many books as possible. And then I'll start working on the next book.
Anything new that people should expect or you want to share about 2023 that's coming up on the blog, YouTube channel or on your social pages?
So I'm working on creating a product with one of the biggest coffee brands, which is going to release this summer. So that's all I can say for now. But I think that is something that I'm personally really looking forward to, because as somebody who does, work on social media and creates digital assets, I feel that it gives me great joy to create something tangible that my audience can actually go to a store and pick, and which is one of the reasons why I love working on books. So this is going to be another tangible product that you're going to get at your favorite coffee shop. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, thank you so much, Shivesh.
You've been incredible. Thank you,
Mansi. I'm sure the kids are going to love it. I'm sure the parents are going to love it. And
just as a
mom who's in the decision-making phase for, what her child should pick, I think it gives me great thoughts that let your kid just do what they want to do, what they set their heart out to, because they're going to eventually have to do it. So if they don't enjoy it, then
absolutely,
it doesn't really matter.
And I honestly feel that a lot of people underestimate the supportive parents. But I feel that when you know that your parents are, you know, there for you and they've got your back and they give you the confidence that even if they end up failing in what they've set out to do, they're going to be there to kind of help them figure out what next could be done. I think that kind of sets you up for success. So it's extremely important to, you know that your parents are going to be there for you.
Thank you. I'm going to keep that piece of advice in my head. I'm sure a lot of us listening to this are going to resonate with that. Thank you so much. Wish you so much
success
for the book. And I'm sure it's going
thank to
be
you.